Well, as we've said already, today's a different kind of service. We've had a little bit shorter worship up front. We'll have a little bit longer near the end of service. But I just want to bring this series to a close. Celebrate anyway. Here's what the series has been about. We live in a very cynical, angry, and oftentimes hopeless world. And cynicism is dangerous because it's toxic. And so the question we've been asking is, what happens when you... We're not saying that bad things don't happen. We're not saying that those shouldn't be attended to. But we're saying, what happens when we focus on the negative, destructive, harmful, angry, painful things happening all the time? It creates cynicism and distrust inside of us. It kills our faith. It wounds our relationships. And it steals our joy. And so we've said in this series that one of the greatest spiritual disciplines that any of us can take in this time is resistance. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world. In other words, resist the direction the world is going. You go the opposite direction. But man, it is a tidal wave going that way, isn't it? I don't need to tell you, open your social media feed and you'll have 100 reasons, a million reasons, unlimited reasons to be upset, to be angry, to be frustrated, all of that. But do not conform, Romans says, to the pattern of the world, but be transformed within by a new way of thinking. So the spiritual resistance is a discipline that we can take to resist the pattern of the world. And God has given us a super weapon to overcome cynicism, and it's this, it's celebration. So we've said this each week. When we celebrate what God celebrates, we build our lives around God's presence rather than the pressures of the world. And we remember that celebration this time of year because when the angel came, do you remember? And he announced Jesus. He said, glad tidings and great joy. That's the announcement the angel made. And Nehemiah said when he was rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And did you know that neuroscience confirms that celebration is something that allows all of us to flourish and to live a better life? Let me tell you how. Do you know that nearly every part of your brain stops growing in childhood? But you have one part of your brain that has the capacity to continue to grow the rest of your life. Do you know what the name of that? I don't know the scientific name, but I'll give you the nickname that it's been labeled. The joy center. The joy center in your brain has the capacity to grow the rest of your life. And you know what strengthens it? Celebration. Celebration strengthens it. So this morning, I want to just invite you to celebrate five things. I'm going to give you the five things, and then I'm going to ask you to join me for prayer. And we're actually going to take a few minutes and celebrate these five things together. So here's the first one. Today we came to celebrate God's goodness. Now look, if you'll just be honest with yourself, maybe honest with your family, your spouse, sometimes it's hard to celebrate God's goodness when you're hurting, isn't it? Sometimes when life isn't going well and circumstances stack on top of circumstances on top of circumstances and you get hit left and right with these unpredictable and random tragedies or frustrations or problems, man, it's hard to celebrate God's goodness because everywhere you look, it feels and seems like that bad things are happening. It's hard to be grateful for God's goodness or even to believe that He's good when what you're experiencing seems to be the opposite. King David suffered more adversity than most of us will ever know. He was mistreated, he was overlooked, he was betrayed, he suffered long years of waiting, he had multiple assassination attempts on his life, he ran for his life, he hid in caves. But let me tell you a secret that David learned that will help you and will help me in this journey of flourishing and celebration and joy and gratitude even in bad times. David refused to evaluate the goodness of God based on his circumstances. In other words, he refused to say, well, God's not good. How do you know? Because this bad thing happened. He refused to do it that way. He reversed it. And he actually evaluated his circumstances based on God's goodness. And so he asked himself different questions. Even when bad things were happening, he would say things like this: how is God revealing his goodness to me now? And that's a question that you can ask even when life's not going well. How is God revealing his goodness to me now? So I want to encourage you today, don't evaluate God's goodness based on something bad that might be happening. Evaluate in the middle of the bad thing that's happening, where is God still shining through with his goodness? Now that takes faith. And it takes faith to believe that God is good, and it takes intentionality and leaning in, even especially when the things that you see don't seem to support that. But it's a decision to believe that, even when emotions may be screaming at you. But in the middle of all of this life that David had, let me tell you what he was able to write because of his decision to believe God. In Psalm 34:8, he said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." David wrote that. The guy who went through more things than most of us will ever know. And in the New Testament, in James 1:17, the Bible tells us how many does that include? All of them. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light. So here's the deal. If it's good and it's in your life, it came from God. And so that gives us an opportunity to celebrate his goodness. So my invitation to you this morning is, whatever your circumstances are, celebrate God's goodness, because from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible reveals that God is good. Now here's the second thing I want to invite you to celebrate today. Celebrate God's word. Do you know one of the greatest gifts that God's ever given to you or me is his word? You can engage with his word, you can engage with the Bible the rest of your life, and you will never fully grasp all of the wisdom and all of the truth that's in it. So this morning, what I want to do is just try to give you a little thumbnail of why we might celebrate God's word, because it's a lot of different things that I'm going to give them to you this morning. God's word is a sword that pierces. It's a light that shines. It's a mirror that reveals. It's a path to purity. Timothy says it's a meal that nourishes and a seed that reproduces. It's a fire that consumes, Jeremiah said. And then in Psalms and Ephesians, it's a defense against temptation. Isaiah 55, it's a fulfiller of God's purpose. And 2 Timothy, a teacher that equips. God's word is the source of our faith, the truth that sanctifies, and the truth that lives forever. So in a few minutes, I'm going to invite you, let's celebrate God's word together. Here's the third one. Let's celebrate salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 15 is a special stretch of scripture, and I want to tell you why in a moment. The New Testament wasn't written in English originally, it was written in Greek. And so to understand the fuller meaning of what was written, sometimes you have to go back to the original language so you can understand what exactly does this say. And so if you go back to the Greek language and you read Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 15, one of the things that you'll learn is that those 12 verses aren't 12 separate verses. They're actually one sentence. One long, continual, running on sentence. And you know what the sentence is about? It's about how God has blessed us. It's about how God has blessed us inside the salvation that he's given us. It's about how God has blessed us inside our relationship with him. And so Paul the Apostle, who wrote the book of Ephesians, this letter, he just bursts forth with this 12-verse sentence on how God has blessed us. And let me just read the first verse. Here's how it starts. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with," here's the word again, you recognize it? "Every spiritual blessing in Christ." There are no more that you don't have. God emptied heaven in your relationship with Jesus Christ and gave you access to every spiritual blessing in Christ. So you've been redeemed and united with Christ and chosen and filled with grace and kindness and mercy and wisdom and understanding. And you've been given freedom from your sin if you're a believer, because he's paid for your sin on the cross. You don't have to walk in guilt or shame anymore. And You have an eternal inheritance. First Peter says it like this: praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. The inheritance is kept for you in heaven. Wow. Today we celebrate the salvation that God has offered to us. Number four, we celebrate God's kingdom. When you become a Christian, but let's go back a step further. Before you're a Christian, you are subject to and live in the kingdoms of this world. But when you become a Christian, you enter into a new kingdom. It's a different kingdom with a different king and a different structure and a different way of operating and everything. And you become a son or a daughter of the living God when you enter to that kingdom. And that kingdom is nothing like the kingdoms of this world. It's nothing like the governments of this world. It's nothing like the nations of this world. You can look in world history and you know what you see? You see nations rise and nations fall. And nations rise, civilizations will rise and don't even exist anymore. All we have are the ruins of what used to be there. And governments sometimes oppress people. And governments sometimes enslave people. And governments sometimes put burdens on people that they can't carry. But this verse says we're part of a different kingdom. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably and with reverence and awe. Isn't that worth celebrating? And you know why? Because this kingdom will never fail. There'll never be a government shutdown in this kingdom. It'll never divide. There is no corruption in it. It's perfect. The two sides are never going to argue each other to death. There's never going to be a national debt in this kingdom. It's never going to need to be a bailout. And after this life, you and I will experience the fullness of this kingdom. And there will be no sadness. And there will be no grief. And you will never know loss again. You will never know loss again. You will never lose a loved one. You'll never lose anything again. Because this is a different kind of kingdom, and the Bible says that Jesus will be the light of that city and the government will be upon his shoulders. And it is a just government and a holy government that always does right all the time by everybody. And he reigns forever and ever and ever. So today we celebrate the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom we're receiving. Now here's the last one. We celebrate Jesus. Amen. Now, give me a minute on this one. Give me a minute to lay this one out. Jesus is the greatest human that ever lived. Amen. Jesus is the central figure in all of human history. And if that's all he were, that would be enough. Amen. But he is way more than that. And I want to explain it to you today from Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It says, for in him, in Jesus, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Now, what does it mean that all things were created in him? That's a very specific way to say it. What does it mean? The picture that we get from this verse is, I want you to imagine Jesus as a sphere. As a sphere. Imagine Jesus as a sphere. And all things were created in that sphere. All things were created in Jesus. So let's just pretend that one day we can get in a spaceship or send a telescope to the edge of the universe. You know what we'll find? Jesus. You know why? Because it's all in him. It's all in him. It was created in him. It's inside him. We were created, creation, the universe, the stars, the planets, everything you can imagine is already in him. Verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Before anything else was, he was. Jesus existed before all of it, and he holds all things together. Now you might say, man, he's not doing a very good job. You might not think that, but what if he took his hand off of it? You think you've seen a mess. If Jesus took his hand off this universe, if he took his hand off the planets, if he took his hand off the sun and the stars and the earth and the mountains and the water, if he took his hands off humanity, you've never seen a mess. He holds all things together. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. Sometimes people will say, oh, they go to your church. I don't have a church. Jesus has a church. I'm part of it. He's the head of the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. All right, now watch this. Inside creation. First off, all of creation is inside Jesus. And inside the creation that's inside Jesus, sin entered the world. Adam and Eve made a terrible decision, and sin entered the world and corrupted and broke all of creation. And do you know what sin caused? Death. Death never existed before sin. And Jesus did not have authority over death. You know why? Because he didn't create it. Adam and Eve created death through their sin. Sin created death. So what did Jesus do? He went inside the creation that's inside him, and he became a human being, and he suffered to death. And that wasn't even enough. And then he came back from the dead to defeat the one thing that he didn't have supremacy over, because he rules and reigns over everything, even death, even the grave, even after this world is over. He reigns over it all. Philippians 2:9 goes on to tell us, therefore, since Jesus reigns over everything, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And if you continue to read Philippians, you know what it says? And at that name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You know what that means? Every atheist and every agnostic and every Buddhist and every Hindu and every Mormon and every Muslim and every person who's never even heard of a religion and every mom and every dad and every grandparent and every child and everybody you've ever met and everybody who will ever live in world history, there's coming a day. There's coming a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You know why? Because it's all in him. He reigns over everything. So today, I want to invite you to celebrate Jesus, because he's the center of it all. You know, that's exactly what Revelation says. In the book of Revelation, when this world is gone, and we're in eternity, I just want to give you a window into what it'll look like. Watch this. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels. So the angels have gathered around the throne. And what are they doing? Numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice, what were they saying? Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. That's Jesus. He's the one who died for us to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. All of the angels gathered around. And look, it doesn't stop there. And then every living thing joined in. That was just the first wave. Look at verse 13. Then I heard every creature. Every creature, every cricket and grasshopper and bug and bird and fish and human and every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever and ever and ever. Today, Jesus is the center of it all. He's the center of it all. And this morning, what I want to invite you to do is I want to invite you to celebrate these five things, okay? Why would I do that? Because we have more to celebrate than anybody else in the whole world. And rather than just scrolling our social media feed and seeing what this one's done and what that one's done and these people are mad and they're going to jail and we're going to sue their face off and all that, that tears your spirit down. You know what builds your spirit up? When you resist the pattern of the world and you celebrate God's presence and His goodness, it builds you up. It lifts you up into those heavenly realms that Ephesians said that Christ has welcomed us into. And so in just a minute, I'm going to ask you it now. You may say, what on earth have I walked into this morning? Well, look, maybe this is different from the background that you have. Maybe you've never done anything like this before. I understand. In a few minutes, we're going to put some prompts on the screen and invite you to celebrate and thank God for those five things, okay? We're gonna do it together. We're going to have a prayer time together. Then the worship team's going to come and lead us again. And then we're going to pray for you before we leave. And now, look, maybe some of you are saying, boy, had I known this is what church was going to be about today, I might have stayed home, because you have no idea what my week's been like and you have no idea what I'm going through and I'm hurting. And I just don't feel like it. Hey, I understand. I do. Why would God invite us to give Him thanks in every circumstance? Because not every circumstance is good. Watch. Because when we thank God and we celebrate His goodness and His presence, it's one of the most effective ways that we gain access to God's goodness. And so this morning, I just want to invite you to do that with us. Would you stand with me this morning? And we're just going to take a few minutes and we're going to walk through these five things, and I'm just going to invite you to pray with us and give God thanks. Maybe you've never done this before. Maybe you say, man, I'm not comfortable with this. You don't have to do it out loud if that's something you're not comfortable with. At least in your mind and your heart, posture yourself toward God and give Him thanks. But maybe you say, man, I do this all the time, or I needed this, or I'm ready for this. Then you go ahead with your own voice and you just give God thanks for what He's done in your life. So let's start with God's goodness, okay? Let's celebrate this morning God's goodness. Lord, today we thank You that You are good. God, we praise You and we thank You that You are good. You've never had an evil thought toward us. You've never had an act of malice toward any one of us. And we thank You today that You are good. And we thank You for every good thing that is in our lives. And we recognize today that it came from You. And would You just let your mind wander toward the good things that are in your life? Maybe it's health, maybe it's relationship, maybe it's job, maybe it's gifting, maybe it's favor. I don't know what it is, but would You just say, God, I want to stop this morning and recognize that it is Your hand of goodness that put that in my life, and this morning I celebrate Your goodness. And now let's celebrate God's Word. Lord, I thank You today that Your Word is truth. I thank you today that your word is a light. I thank you today that your word is a lamp unto my path and a light unto my way. I thank you today that you have revealed yourself to me through the person of Jesus Christ. I thank you that you revealed God to me through Jesus in your word. I thank you for the living word today. And I thank you that you've, would you thank God for speaking to you? I thank you for speaking to me through your word. I thank you for speaking to me by your spirit. I thank you for speaking to me through the living word. God, I thank you today for the word of God that will not return void. It will go to do what you sent it to do. I thank you for the anchor of the word of God. We thank God today for salvation. Come on and let's thank him for a minute. God, I thank you today for salvation. Lord, I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for every spiritual blessing. God, I thank you today for every spiritual blessing, for blessing us with every spiritual blessing. And Lord, I thank you for forgiveness and freedom and being united with Christ, for grace and wisdom and understanding that you've made me a son of God. You've adopted me into your family. I thank you for that. And I thank you that you've given me a spiritual inheritance. Come on and just speak it out and say, God, I thank you today. I thank you today for that. I'm grateful for that. And now we thank you, Lord, and celebrate God's kingdom. Thank you, God, for your kingdom that will last forever. I thank you that your kingdom is like nothing that we're seeing on TV or on the news or anywhere else. Your kingdom is completely different. And I thank you for the kingdom of God that will last for eternity. Nations will rise and fall. Nations will go to war and destroy each other. But the kingdom of God will last forever. It is eternal. And I thank you that your kingdom is eternal today, Lord. And God, I thank you today that your kingdom will never fail. It will never do wrong. It will never mistreat. It will never oppress. It will never harm. God, your kingdom is good. Come on and just thank him for his kingdom. Just say, Lord, I thank you today for the kingdom. I thank you for the kingdom. And here's the last one. Lord, we celebrate today Jesus. Come on. Come on. We celebrate Jesus. Come on to just say his name, Jesus. One more time, Jesus. Lord, I thank God that you revealed the Father to me through the Son. You sent him to earth to walk in our shoes, to feel what we feel, to know what we know, to feel the pull of temptation, to know the suffering of this earth so that he could empathize with me. God, I thank you today that you can empathize. Come on. I thank you you can empathize. I thank you that you know how Monday feels and you know how complicated problems feel and you know how it feels to face the unknown because you came to earth and limited your own knowledge so that you wouldn't even know the future. I thank you that you know how it feels to not know what's next. God, I thank you that you know how it feels to walk in the unknown and have to trust your Father. God, I thank you today that you revealed the Father to us in Jesus, and I thank you for your death and resurrection. God, I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that you washed my sins away. I thank you that by your stripes I have been healed. I thank you that you conquered death and hell and the grave. And Lord, I thank you today that you are the ultimate victor in all of life's battles. Lord, we celebrate Jesus today. We celebrate Jesus today. Our worship team's coming, and as they do, would you just say with your own voice, Lord, I thank you today. I celebrate your presence. I celebrate your goodness. In Jesus' name.